our Lord Jesus, they had just taken the Lord's, the bread and the wine, sung a song, and then he's going out to the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I not be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice or three times. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. And look what happens here. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them into the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's John and James, and he began to be heavy and sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is come, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Our most blessed, gracious Father in heaven, we humble ourselves in your presence, so grateful, so blessed, so thankful for what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We bless you that we were able to get up this morning and come, gather with the people of God, gather with the saints of God, to rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ, to find him to be our all in all. And Lord, we thank you for our gathering this morning. Thank you for the love and care and concern of the people of God. We're very thankful for the Lantana Grace Church and the people here. Lord, we pray that you would bring glory to yourself through us while we're here on this earth. And our Father, we pray for the unconverted in our services today. Lord, may the gospel run well. May it go forth in power. May it go forth in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. In open hearts, open minds, open understanding. Give life, give life, give life. That only you can do. And Lord, we pray now for those who are weak and sick among us, Bruce and Sandy. We're thankful for those who have been sick or with us today. And our Father, we pray for Bruce, we pray for Don, we pray for their wives, that your blessed grace would be abundant toward them. Continue to pray for Rick and Helen. God, give them an abundance of grace. We thank you, bless you, praise you for the day, for the mercy, for the grace given us in Christ, even before the world ever began. We thank you. Amen. Amen. Matthew 26, I want you to look at a verse of Scripture with me. Matthew 26 and verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as I will. When we see that word, nevertheless, that's what I want to talk about, nevertheless. That means however or in spite of. Sometimes we as true believers are faced about how to pray, about sickness, you know, for ourselves and somebody else. The circumstances that we're put in, or even our lost children. Now we want to see people. We want to see people healed from sickness. We don't like to see anybody sick. We don't like to hear bad news about people. And we want to be delivered from troubles. Nobody enjoys troubles. Nobody likes troubles. And they hate to see their brothers and sisters and their friends in trouble and have hard circumstances. But yet, when we see these things and deal with these things, we always still want God's will done in our hearts, in our lives, in our circumstances, in our troubles, in our sicknesses, and in those we love. We want God's will to be done. So we'd like and love to see everything the way we want them to be, the way we'd want them to be. We'd like to see the church to prosper. Love to see sinners converted. Love peace. Love to see our sons and daughters converted and brought to Christ. These things may be, they may be, and I pray for those things to be that way. But the will of the Lord be done. The will of the Lord be done. I know that I want to submit to the will of God, and I certainly don't want to be found praying against the will of God. Never want to do that. Do you? Do you? So look what our Master said here. Here's the answer for how to pray. Here's the answer for peace of heart. Here's the answer for peace of mind. That'll satisfy us. And he went a little further, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, whether it passes from me or not, nevertheless, however, in spite of, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You know, when we see this and hear this, we can pray with importunity. You know, we can ask and ask and ask and ask and tell our Father what we want. Tell our Father what we need. And our Lord here prayed three times. Three times. Look down in verse 42. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, again thy will be done. Verse 44, he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same word. He prayed three times. Three times right here, said the same thing over and over and over. But he always ended up saying, thy will be done. Now, Lord Jesus Christ was suffering here. Oh, how he was suffering. He said over in Luke that he prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. And here he said in verse 38, my soul, the part of us that really hurts, My soul is exceeding sorrowful. It hurts so bad inside me. My sorrow is so great. My sorrow is so heavy on me, even unto death. That's what he was going through. He was suffering here. He was suffering so greatly. And he said, I'm sorrowful even unto death. Well, what is he saying? What he's saying here is, my heart is so heavy. My suffering is so great right here in this garden that I could die right here without ever going to the cross. I could do that right here. And I'll tell you what, my nature, he's saying, my sinless nature, my holy nature is not going to be able to deal with this, to handle this. And here's a man, he does this. And I tell you what, he didn't think he was going to, he said, there won't be a need of a cross because I'm going to die right here. Now, we don't feel sin. We don't feel sin, don't even come close to feeling what sin is. What our Lord Jesus Christ did here, with his great mind, God, the mind of a sinless man. Sin has so marred our minds that we can't even remember what happened yesterday. Sin has so corrupted our minds, but his mind was not like that. But when he was here in this garden, when he was here praying, he comprehended the weight, the awfulness, the greatness, the consequences of sin upon him. He contemplated and faced and comprehended our sin and our guilt. And if our sin and our guilt troubles us so much, imagine what it was doing to him. If it troubles us, and we're sinners, imagine what it was doing to him as he comprehended it. Oh my. When he saw before him, and he saw this, when he saw the sin and the guilt of the world, and he saw my guilt, my despair, when he saw before him being naked, hanging on a tree, when he saw before him the Father was going to be separated from him and him from the Father, when he comprehended the wrath of God that was going to come upon him, when these things fell on him in the garden, he prayed and said, Father, if it be possible, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. Huh? Oh, our Lord suffered here before he ever got to the cross. You know the first word that our Lord Jesus cried from the cross? The very first word? When our Lord Jesus Christ, they come to get him, he never said a word. When they took him into the judgment hall, mocked him, slapped him, plucked out his beard, put a crown of thorns on his head and a purple robe on him, never opened his mouth. When they laid him on that tree and nailed his hands and feet into that tree, never uttered a word. Not a word. But oh my, the first word that you heard from our Savior was this, my God, my God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the first word. Huh? And beloved, this is the way for us to pray. He came to the Father over and over and over again. Let this agony, let this trouble, let this cup, let this suffering, let these things that I'm going to face, if it be your will, take them away. And he said the same words over and over again. But he said, however, I'll die where you tell me to die. I'll suffer wherever you say for me to suffer. And that's the way we need to pray, like our Master did. As my Master did. And don't let us ever use the sovereignty of God as an excuse not to pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew everything that would be done to him as he prayed. So let us also say, not my will, but thine be done. Oh my. I want you to look with me over in Luke. Oh my. Just look at these words nevertheless. Look in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. You know this. And we have to pray that way. I tell you, we've all been in some tough circumstances in our lives. And nobody likes trouble. Nobody likes suffering. But we say, nevertheless, thy will be done. Now look here with me. I'm going to read these first 5 verses. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw 2 ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Put your boat out in the water just a little bit. And he sat down in that boat, in that ship, and he began to teach the people. A big crowd of people there. Now when he left speaking, he got through speaking, got through teaching the people, he said unto Simon, go on out in the water, take your boat, go on out in where it's deeper, and let down your nets for a great draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we toiled all night just getting our nets clean, and have taken nothing. That's what we are and can do without the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. But look what he said. Nevertheless, at thy word. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, so many that their net broke. Oh, my. And that's the way we are. Not only, nevertheless, thy will be done, but nevertheless, at thy word. What is our rule to live by in this world? What's our rule for us to conduct ourselves in this world? God's word is. Nevertheless, at thy word. Not our wisdom. Simon Peter never listened to his own wisdom here. He said, well, we've toiled all night. And that was what he did. He's telling the truth. But nevertheless, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. You tell me to launch out in the deep, lay down a net, that's what I'll do. And beloved, we believe. We believe in God's absolute sovereignty. Oh, we believe that God rules and controls everything in this world. He's the first cause of all things. But we're not robots. No. We feel. We have emotions. We think. We reason, we plan, we purpose, and we have opinions. But still yet, with all of that, we're seeking God's will in His Word. You know, if it wasn't for the Word of God, we wouldn't know how God saves a sinner. If it wasn't for the Word of God, we wouldn't know anything about grace. If it wasn't for the Word of God, we wouldn't know anything about sin. If it wasn't for the Word of God, we wouldn't know anything about self-righteousness. We'd all be that way. How did we learn these things? Where do we find these things at? In the Word of God. We find out what God's will is and what He's going to do for a man in the Word of God. And that's why we can tell a man what the will of God is. I can tell you exactly what the will of God is for some of you. This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son hath life. That's what He said. That's what my will is. And oh, beloved, and then we seek the way of God in His Word. How do we know God's ways about His sovereignty and His government and His purpose in this world? Of what He did, how He declared His ways. And He said He has His way in the whirlwind. He does according to His will in the armies of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. And no man can say unto Him, what doest thou? Or stay His hand. That's God's way. Could we find that out? In His Word. And oh, and the truth. The truth. I want the truth no matter what it costs me. And where do we find the truth at? In His blessed Word. There's absolute truth in this book. There's absolute truth here. And it can't be denied. We believe in the truth of creation. We're not evolutionists. We're not evolutionists. We don't believe that man's getting better and better. He started out at the top and fell all the way to the bottom. How do we find that out? How do we find out that man, being what he is, that God has to come and do something from him? That's the God's way. He's got to come to you. You can't come to him until he comes to you. You can't hear until he comes to you and gives you ears. There's these ways. Where'd we learn that at? Just like Simon Peter said, Lord, I've toiled all night. I believe this all my life. I'm a fisherman. I know something about fishing. But nevertheless, that's my word. Oh, my. And I tell you, Peter was telling the truth. Oh, my. And what Peter's saying, I'm not going to use human wisdom. I'm not going to ask John and James what they think about it. You think we ought to do this? You think the Lord knows what he's talking about? Listen. Oh, my. Huh? What would you do? John, if you was me, would you do what he told me to do? As a fellow on the radio, he said, we want to be what God dreams for us to be. Now, he can't know anything about God's ways. God don't dream. God purposes. We dream. And that's why I told Jeremiah, I said, he that hath a dream, let him tell it as a dream. He that hath my word, let him tell my word. You can't even compare the two. But I said, I'm going to... He said, no, instead of doing that and leading to his own wisdom and find out what somebody else would do or what they would say, he said, I tell you what you say in your word, that's what I'm going to do. Huh? You know, our plans are contingent upon the will of God. Amen. But his plans and his purposes, not contingent upon anything. You know, or some people find it hard to submit to the Word of God, especially when it conflicts with their beliefs and the way they do things. Now, we are perfect examples of that. When God first brought us the gospel, we had ways that we did, couldn't find a scripture for them, but we done them anyway. We had prayer in the front. Bunch of people prayed at the same time. We've done all those foolish things. But yet when God confronted us with His Word, it conflicted with what we believed. It conflicted with our traditions in conflict with the way we've done things. What do? We go to the Word of God. And when we found out what He said, we said, I believe that. Well, it's just what you believed before. Well, what I believed before is wrong. Wasn't true. This is true. And oh my, let me tell you something. Would you be fooled? You know what God's Word says? You have to become empty. You ain't got nothing. Would you be rich? Then give everything away. Especially yourself. Would you receive? Then give. Right. Would you live? You gotta die. You gotta write the sentence of death on yourself. Right. Would you save your life? Our Lord said, then you gotta lose it for my sake. Huh? I got a letter from a man this week. And what was the title of suffering? Suffering or something like that. He was the suffering. Struggle. That title of his letter he wrote was struggle. And his next door neighbors were very wealthy, had everything. New cars, their kids had new cars, new trucks, took gold, extended vacations, had all the money they needed to send their kids to college and everything. And he said, and then they rubbed it in his face and they were obnoxious, and when he was around them, they act like he didn't even exist. And he said, I believe in the sovereign grace of God, but I have a struggle. He said, I'd like to see God do something. Bring those people down a peg. Bring them down a peg. You know what I wrote back to him? I said, you're wealthier than they'll ever dream about being. You got the riches of God's grace. You got the riches of Christ's glory. You've got Christ Himself. Pray for them. They're the ones to be pitied. Oh, listen. Let's reason. Let's ask questions. Let's always say, we can reason. We can ask questions. A woman asked me one time, and she was suffering greatly. She said, how in the world is God going to get glory out of this? I said, I don't know, but He says He will. It says He will. We can reason. We can question. But we always have to come back to this. Nevertheless, at Thy word. Huh? Nevertheless, at Thy word. All right. Look with me now over in 2 Timothy. Let's look over here in 2 Timothy a moment. For a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Oh my. Nevertheless, not my will but thine. Nevertheless, at thy word. Nevertheless, at thy word. And then look what he says here now. 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the fictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't be ashamed of anything. God who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Nevertheless, when it comes to a matter of pride, when we come to be in pride, Paul said, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Why ain't you ashamed, Paul? For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now here's an apostle. He's in prison. That's why I said, don't be ashamed of the testimony. And don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed that I'm in jail. Don't be ashamed that I'm in prison. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, even though I set a prisoner of Caesar. Though I set a prisoner in this prison. You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had everything in their day. They had everything in Paul's day. They had everything that a person could possibly want. They had the clothes. They had the very best of clothes. They had their religious costumes. They put them on. When they got up on Sunday morning, they put their costumes on. Put their robes on. Put their titles on. They had their degrees. They had houses. When they took our Lord Jesus Christ to the judgment, to the high priest's house, he said they took him to the high priest's palace. He lived in a palace. Kind of like the Pope lives in a palace. And I tell you what, they had the best churches, good churches, full churches. When they was invited anywhere, they was put up front. They sat on the upper seat. They had big houses, great parsonages, guaranteed salaries. They're called master, rabbi, doctor. And here's Paul. In prison. And he was the man with the message. They had everything else, but he had the message. Here he sat in this prison, watching the rats run around in that dungeon. Here he is, waiting on some reprobate to furnish him his food and his drink. Here he sat in this prison with a limited audience. And here he is, waiting for death. He's hated and ridiculed and despised. And look what it said over here in verse 7. Of chapter 4, and tell you just what he's looking forward to while he sits in prison. Look what he's looking forward to. Verse 6, he said, for I'm now ready to be offered. That's what my life's going to be, the offering. And the time of my departure is at hand. Time for me to leave. Where are you going, Paul? I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I'm done. I'm at the end of the race. I'm at the end of the race. I'm fixed to cross the finish line. And oh, I've kept the faith. Hence there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge who gives me. That's where he's at. That's where he's at. But yet, he says, while I'm sitting here, and they've got everything, however, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Why aren't you ashamed, Paul? I have Christ. Yes. I have Christ. I have the gospel. I have God's grace. He just got through saying that grace was given him in Christ before the world ever began. That God had saved him. What does it matter? He said, God saved me. I don't have to have the approval of the flesh. I don't have to have the approval of man. I don't have to be bragged on and praised of men. I don't have to have the ease of the world and the comfort of this life. Why not, Paul? I know whom I have believed. And you know what? He said, not only do I know whom I believe, but I am absolutely convinced that he is able to keep that I've committed unto him. For how long? Until the day he takes me home. Huh? Oh my. Paul sitting in that cell alone, deserted. And he said, only Luke was with me. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. Nevertheless, well, I sat in this jail. Nevertheless, when they fixed to come and get me and take me over there and take my head off, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Because I know Christ. I have Christ. And then look over here. Just turn the page to verse 19. Oh my goodness, man, life, where's time with? Well, I had that on reading. Look what he said here. In verse 16. To shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. In their word will eat as doeth a canker or a gangrene, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now listen to this. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. Oh, I tell you, here he is. He said, here's some folks that's forsaken the gospel. They've left the gospel. They've left Christ. These people are turning and leaving. And it disturbed Paul. It disturbed him. It troubled him. And it disturbs us. It disturbs me when folks walk away from the gospel, leave the gospel, not believe the gospel, sit for a few years and then leave. But he said, however, now however, whatever they believe, whatever they teach that's false, whatever they teach that's untrue, whatever they say about us, he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Let everybody leave who they want to. God's foundation is going to stand sure. How's come? He knows them that are his. Huh? Oh, my. Demons can depart. Alexander the coppersmith can do him evil. Hermogenes and Philetus and Hymenaeus and Philetus can depart. But nevertheless, God's foundation stands sure. You know what it says? Tells us this, that God has a people. You know what? We didn't lay the foundation. No. God has a people whom he loves, whom he calls, and they come. And I'll tell you something, they never leave. In fact, you can't run a sheep off. Now, a goat, you know, you can always tell a goat. How can you tell a goat? He said, but. But a sheep, you know, they find them a good green pasture and they lay down. They find that good, sweet water of the gospel and they lay down. They've got a shepherd that leads them and guides them and takes care of them and protects them. And the Lord's their shepherd. And oh my, he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then listen to this. He maketh us to lie down. Oh, that's a good lay down, ain't it? When the Lord makes you to lay down. That's a good lay down, boy, when the Lord makes you to lay down. Where'd he make you lay down? In green pastures. Oh, that's why he says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. And then let me show you this one. Back in Philippians. I'll hurry. I'm taking too long, I'm afraid. I hope I'm not. Y'all bear with me. Indulge me, if you will. So in the matter of trial, we say nevertheless. Let folks go where they want, do what they do, believe what they believe, teach what they want to teach. But we're going to stay right here. Why? Because God's foundation stands sure. The Lord knows in the middle of this. All right, then in the matter of depression, I don't know if you've ever been depressed. I don't know if you've ever been really down, had very, very dark days, despairing of life, hearts are heavy, didn't know if you could make it through a few days or two or three days or a week or two, waiting for the sun to shine again, for it to come back light again. But look what Paul said here. For me to live, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Then he says there in verse 23, that I'm in a strait. I am a strait. You know what a strait is? That means you're pressed. You're right in this. The strait is the gate, and there is the way. I mean, it's tight. Very tight. And he said, I'm in a strait between two things. Between two things. The first is, I have such a desire to depart to be with Christ. He said, I want to be done with this flesh. Oh, I want to be done with this flesh. I want to be done with this old corrupt flesh of mine, this corrupt body of mine. You may be strong and full of life right now, but tomorrow you may be like Job. The day of my death will be better than the day of my birth. Elijah said, Lord, just go ahead and let me die. And Paul said, I have a desire to die. He said, my heart said, I desire to die. I desire to die and go be with Christ. That's better, better. I want to be done with these fightings. These troubles, these heartaches, these sorrows, I want to be done with them. These fears and these troubles. But nevertheless, he said, I'm willing to stay for your sake. For your sake. And let me say this, and I draw my hurry. Men need each other. They really do. We're social creatures. And God pities a person who don't need anybody. And God pities a person that nobody needs. That'd be an awful place, wouldn't it? Huh? In my relationship and my standing before God, I don't need anybody. But boy, in this life, right here, where we live, I need friends. I need relationships. I need love, and I need to give love. I need people. We all need people. People we can love, we can trust, we can count on, we can enjoy, and spend our lives together till it's over. Huh? Oh, my. Well, I've got a couple points, but I'm not going to use them. I said enough. I ain't said enough now. Y'all probably never will get enough. But I've said enough. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Nevertheless, that thy will. When it comes to a matter of time, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. That's what that person was. He became, that man wrote me that letter, he became ashamed. He said, my family struggles. We struggle so much. And these people have so much. So much. He got ashamed of the life he had and envied them. And David said, when I understood that, said, I was like a beast till I understood therein. I understood therein. And when it comes to depression, if it's God's will for us to stay here, we're going to stay here. Maybe it's as dark as a dungeon, but we're going to stay for one another's sake, for Christ's sake. Amen. Our Father, the blessed, blessed name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for meeting with us here today. Thank you for your gospel. Thank you for your word. Thank you for my church family, and thank you for my family, my natural family. Thank you for blessing them to be here today. I'm so grateful, so thankful for them. And we love one another. And Lord, I love all these people from my family. God, help us to love you more and love one another more. Thank you for the food we're about to receive. Thank you for the love and the care that was put into it. We thank you in Christ's blessed name. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace. Give that grace. And this is where we was talking about this morning. Well, you ladies, go back there and do what you do, and then holler at us when you get ready.